folks have met in other countries in much colder temperatures. So we thank you for it. And we pray that you would help us be able to get it fixed and taken care of so that it isn't so cold. But help us to have a good day together in the Lord anyway. And not let this dampen the blessing that you have for us. And pray that you give Brother Siebold the words to say. Thank you for bringing them to us safely. And we just pray you bless this day and all that we do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you. On the organ here, there are two cards. We have one for Brother Hitchens. Obviously, all of us know he had his hip replacement surgery back on the 18th of February. He's doing quite well, but it's still going to take some time for him to recover, so we'd like to send a card to them to encourage them. Yes?
I talked to him yesterday.
Okay.
He's actually doing very well. He's in therapy, and he said at therapy he's just using a cane. At home, though, anywhere else, he has to use the walker, but he said the pain is minimal. He's doing okay with just Tylenol, and he says thank you for the prayers.
All right, so hopefully send some more encouragement to them with the cards that's on the organ. And then I think all of us have heard by now that Mrs. Waite went home to heaven. And anyway, there's a card there to encourage that family as well. So hope you'll take the time in between services to write a little note of encouragement to each of these, okay? So just wanted to remind everybody about that.
Ah,
so we'll make this a combination to get well and feel better and a happy birthday at the same time. Sounds good. All right, very good. That's all the announcements I have for right now. We're going to move to the chorus vote now. And we'll sing number 83. 83 in the chorus vote. E is all I need. 83 in the
chorus.
do have one birthday coming up on Saturday this week. It's Julia. She will turn one, correct? All right, so that's great. Glad that everybody's doing better. Maybe we'll be back with us today. So let's say happy birthday to Julia. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right, great. Well, our children's class can be dismissed now. While they're being dismissed, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Take just a moment if there are one or two volunteers who would like to say Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14, we can do that. Today we're moving on to verse 15 as well. No volunteers? Okay, that's fine. We'll just say Hebrews chapter 4 verses 14 and 15 together. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Brother Siebel, we'll get you set up and
Well. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This just doesn't seem fair. If some of you would like to come sit up here on the platform area, there's a beautiful heater right here. And I'm going to soon forget that you're sitting out there freezing and I'm up here warm as toast. It's good. I'm trying to adjust myself. I have a slow brain normally, but with the cold, you know, things slow down in the cold. So don't even ask me what my name is. And so we'll do well. Have you had this experience before? You liked it so much, you invited it back again. Amen. That's good. I pastored the same church back in Howell Township, New Jersey for 38 years. And experiences like this were numerous. And I thought maybe I'd share a couple with them with you, but I probably won't. We got a phone call one night, and somebody said, "Your building's on fire." It was plenty warm that night. It was. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning when I got the phone call, and it had been burning for about 3 hours. And when I pulled in the driveway, the whole building was engulfed in flames, and you could roast hot dogs if you wanted to on it. And somebody came in to start the fire. They poured gasoline on the pulpit, and all over the building. So it was quite an experience. And but God knew what he was doing. It took a year and a month to get it torn down, built back up again. So I thank God for that experience. Not knowing what the day was going to bring, I have this Sunday school thought for us today. And things you can do without. From the Bible, things you can do without. And I think God had a little angel down there looking at, you can do without heat. Lord, I don't know about that. My nose is running, and you'll have to excuse me for that, but I couldn't catch it, and I kept right on running. It's still running. Take your Bibles. I'm going to read some Bible verses. You don't need to turn, unless you feel you can. If you've got limber hands and fingers and so forth like that, Some of you going like this, the younger section, all right? So you want to be part of that younger section, and you can try and turn with your mittens on and find the verse. We're going to go through a good number of verses, hopefully, this morning. But spiritual truths you cannot do without. Spiritual truths you cannot do without. Some of us have some very defined habits. In the morning, I've heard it said, I cannot go to school, or I cannot go to work without my cup of coffee. I can't do without. I have to have my. I can't do without my cup of coffee. Any of you like that? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. I can't do without. I can't do with my without my cup of tea. This morning we were over in a motel. We got checked out of there, and I had a Diet Coke. I can't do without my Diet Coke in the morning. And my cup of hot tea. One hand, a cold Diet Coke, this hand, a hot tea. And when we got here this morning, my wife says to me, Rev, you didn't have your hot tea. Well, it was so hectic that I didn't have a tea, so I'll survive, I'm sure. But spiritually speaking, things we can't do without. In your Bible, and you need not turn, but I will refer to it just as if you were going to turn. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. You cannot do without. Things you cannot do without spiritually. Before I jump into what I wrote down here, what do you think spiritually you cannot do without? Do you have an idea? I cannot do without, and what came into my mind was church service. That's why you're here. That's why you're sitting here. That's why you're not rebelling against the idea of having church service. And you cannot do without church. We need to have church. Amen? Just because you're cold, you still can say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. The more you breathe out, okay, take a deep breath, then go in, warm it up, then come to amen. Every 15 seconds, just say amen. Put that hot air out in the room. You cannot do without. I wrote down the first thing I thought of. You cannot do without saving faith. You cannot do without saving faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll read the verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Most important thing in anyone's life is being born again. The most important decision that anybody makes is the decision to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a teaching experience that starts off in the cradle. And right through that to expose a young person to the Word of God. And you cannot live without, you can live for 70, 80, 90 years, but you're not going to live for an eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. We can, you can, we cannot live eternally without salvation. And a culture needs to know that. I've looked around, I haven't been around all that long, but I've been around long enough to know that we are a culture that has lost its Christian foundation. A good number of people believe for a period of time. You can't live without salvation. You can't live eternally without salvation, but today it's all mismatched and so forth and so on. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot live without saving faith. I found the Lord, a rich man am I. I didn't want to live without faith. I didn't know a whole lot about it, but I knew I didn't want to live without saving faith. I was a teenager. And I had two brothers. We shared the same bedroom. And I can remember one night being overly concerned about where I was going to spend eternity. I was going to a Lutheran church. My mother was teaching Sunday school, but they weren't teaching salvation. And my brother made his confirmation and all that kind of stuff. So I figured he had the answer. I asked him a question, Don, what's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when I die? What's it going to be like? Now, he was in... I forget what they call it, Luther League. And he was in that, and I figured he had some spiritual answer for me. And his answer was basically this, shut up and go to sleep. I didn't relish that answer. That was not what I was looking for. And we need, and we cannot do without salvation. And when I asked him that question, I got nothing but a cold answer, even though he was a president of the Luther League and that kind of stuff, but he didn't offer or render to me a plain expose of salvation. There's a world out there that needs a definition or an explanation or a confrontation about what it means to be born again. So we cannot live, we cannot die, we cannot do, salvation is extremely important. Amen? That's good. Now, doesn't send any hot air in here. Okay, yes. We need to be born again. You must be born again. There was a period of time when everybody knew it. There was a movement, the born again movement, remember several years ago? Everybody was born again, born again, born again. And it was about that thick. It wasn't rich. They knew the terminology, and God is their judge, not I. But we need to have that idea. We cannot do without saving faith. That's number one. Number two, I like it better when you look down your Bibles every once in a while. Okay? So I'll give you a reference. You can go down there and, you know, look like you're, all right? I'm not used to having everybody staring at me like this. This is strange. Like you're frozen. Maybe that's what he said. You don't want to hear the ice crack with your neck. All right. You cannot do without the shedding of blood. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. We cannot do. You cannot do without the shedding of blood. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. You cannot do, without the shed blood. What can wash away my sins? What's your answer?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. What comes next? Thank you. My brain got frozen right there for a second. I got to keep it moving. So we cannot do without the shed blood. Salvation is the shed blood is the foundation for salvation. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's eternal plan. Would you have done it different? Yeah, if God was to call you into counsel and say, give me an idea about what we should do for these lost folks down on planet Earth, what would your solution be? I don't know, and personally I don't care, because it was God's solution and God's eternal solution. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do without the shed blood. A bloodless religion is a worthless religion. Your merit of trying to do good works. Don't misunderstand. It's good to do good works. It's not good for entrance into glory without the shed blood, without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansing you. Then your good works or your works have an asset and not a liability. There's a culture and there's a bunch of people out there running around with, be good. And if you're good enough, you get to heaven. And you learned a long time ago, back in some confirmation class or some other class, that's not the way it works. You need to have the shed blood. So I'm saying, number one, you cannot do without saving faith. You cannot do, number two, without the shedding of blood. Number three, you cannot do without chastisement. You cannot do without chastisement. One of the problems that we have in a nation, or one of the problems we have in a culture, is the lack of discipline, the lack of chastisement. The liberal crowd got out there, the unbelieving crowd, the ungodly crowd got into the educational system in some form and said, well, you don't need to chasten your child. You might want to sit down and reason with them a little bit, but you don't want to chasten them. Somebody once said, well, spare the rod and what? Spare the rod and spoil the child. Hickory stick. Taught to the tune of the hickory stick. You remember that hickory stick? How many remember getting paddled in school? Amen. I remember paddling students in school. And it had a good positive effect in their lives. And you cannot do without correction. One of the reasons our nation is in such a distressful situation is nobody wanted to correct children growing up. One of the reasons is because the children who are growing up never were corrected themselves. You know, grandparents have been accused of being too soft. I don't know if we have any grandfathers or grandparents in here, but you know, you're not really going to send him to his room without, you're not really going to go upstairs and battle him, are you? Go to your room. You know, remember, go to your room. I'll be up when mom, grandma and grandpa, well, I'll be up. Go to your room. Go to your room. Go to your room. And when we were raised with the idea of going to your room, it produced some quality characteristics individual. Your grandparents sitting here for the most part. And grandparents, you're not going to let them go to the ball game? Oh, no. You're not going to, oh, come on. You got. But way back yonder, you were sent to your room. And I'll say this kindly, but look what you turned out to be. Did being sent to your room or being trained and taught by the hickory stick, did that hurt you? Or did it help you? It depends upon where your sensitivities are located. Yeah, it did hurt you for a little while, but it produced a quality character individual. The very fact that you all want to stay here this morning in church is an indicator that somebody disciplined you along the way. You're supposed to, where are you supposed to be on Sunday morning at 9:30? Church. That's why you're here, because somebody trained you to be in submission to those, kind of like an authority, but you're in church. Number one, you help me out. What can we do without? We cannot do without saving faith. Faith. We cannot do without bloodshed, the shedding of the blood. That's good. Stay with me. Help my little frozen brain out. We cannot do without chastisement. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not the sons. When you really care for someone, you kind of like treat them like your own. Back home at the ranch, we've had about 150. I mentioned it to you before, but we had about 150 kids live with us. And we treated them, they were just like our own. God wants you to be his son. God wants you to be his daughter. And he wants to treat you just like he is your very own. And we ought to be expecting that. We cannot do without chastisement. Yes, ma'am.
What verse are you on for chastisement?
If I knew, I'd tell you.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8.
Thank you. There we go. That's an understudy. Good. All right. I had a thought running through my mind, and it's so cold up there, it just got froze in the frost. All right, let's go on. Appreciate that question. You cannot do without chastisement. Ma and I were traveling with our son-in-law and my daughter, and they went to a meeting, and they left the kids with us. Do I have this straight, Ma? What did the girl say when their parents left and she said, you might need this? Listen to this. Speak nice and loud for me.
That was Carol. She's a mother now with three children, and her husband's a pastor. But she said to us when she was about 2.5, she said, here's the spoon. And I said, well, what do you need the wooden spoon for? She said, I don't always obey.
We were traveling, and we were there. Parents went out, and we were supposed to be watching them. And that's what she knew, that if she didn't obey, the spoon was handy, and that was not for stirring and licking it off. It was applied to the seat of knowledge. And you picked up what my wife had to say. That was Kara.
That was Kara.
And she married a preacher.
Yes.
And now they got three kids, and they got three spoons. Okay, each one has their own. Right? So, it is the way the Bible suggests. Spare the rod and spoil the child. All right. Number four on my list. You cannot do without holiness. You cannot do without holiness. That's Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Without holiness, without living the godly way. God's book is the best way. It's the only way. Nobody has a better idea in child rearing than the Word of God. God's Holy Spirit preserved it, so we have a good comprehension of how children should be raised. I've had parents say to me, well, I take care of my kids. I take care of my children. The former First Lady made a statement to the effect, it takes a village to raise a child. Now, I don't know what your interpretation of that might be or your understanding of that. Let's get a little Family Feud going here, okay? Does it take more than a village to raise a child?
Yes.
We got a yes. Do I get a no? All right. Does it take more? When I first heard that, I heard the a lot of folks saying, oh, no, that, just if I had my family, I got my kids, I got to raise. You know, in your family, and you have two sons and two daughters, they're not going to marry each other. The success for that, they're going to find somebody who somebody else is raising. And so when you have somebody else and somebody else and somebody else to be there as potential suitors for your children, it's going to take more than to raise a family. Am I making any sense? Mm-hmm. I want somebody to raise my grandkids just the way somebody else is raising their grandkids. So when these grandkids meet my grandkids, they're not going to have any strife. But we got away from that idea. And so, do I want you to raise your grandkids like I've raised my grandkids? Like I raised my grandkids? Yes, I want you to raise your grandkids like I raised my grandkids. I've said this so many times, some places along the way and so forth and so on. People go, oh no, I don't want anybody to raise their kids, grandkids. I don't want anybody to raise their kids like mine. That's an indictment. You want to hold you responsible and liable. You want to raise your kids so that somebody... I used to say, you're going to pay a high price to get my daughter. She's a precious commodity. Because she's been... And it takes a family unit. Isn't it good? Jonathan's father, what's he do? The man that my granddaughter married. He's an evangelist, right? And his son, Jonathan, is a preacher down in some place down here. They just took a church. Well, what I'm saying, you want to raise them that way. You want to raise them to find a family just like yours. Grandparents, every once in a while I hear grandparents saying, don't be so hard on them. Don't be so hard on them. Wait a minute. Get tough and rough again. Remember when you had to, brush it off. How many of you are still cold? How many of you weren't even thinking about being cold until I said that? You're sitting here shivering as the whole building's going to vibrate. All right. Let me go back to my notes. You cannot do without practical holiness. Number five on your list, if you're keeping track. You cannot do without... Who? Talk to me. Did somebody say something? Must have been the ice cracking. You cannot do... I'll go to number five. You cannot do without works. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Do we need to have works? Or it is a natural phenomenon. I found the Lord, a rich man am I. The works comes when you got saved. There's been a great change, the songwriter said in the scriptural principle. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Songs I used to sing, I don't sing them anymore. People I used to know or whatever, depends upon the age of the kid, date, I don't date them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. You cannot do without works. If you had to do it all over again, I don't think I've ever asked this question. I'm not sure I would need to, want to. Hey, if you had to do it all over again, are there some things in your life that you would change? If there are, would you do well in relaying them to somebody else? Like a grandchild? Like a daughter? Yeah, I've made some mistakes, son. I don't want you to make the same mistake. Therefore, before you do, I'm not going to put you in a place where you could. I'm not going to allow you to go to a place where you will. We need to have some works. Salvation is by what? Faith, and faith alone. But you show me your faith without your works. I like to allow you to see my faith by my works. I'd like to see you not have to see. My jacket says born again Christian on the inside. No, it doesn't. Pretend, okay? I wouldn't have to walk around like this so you'd know that I'm a Christian. I would hope that when I get into your car with a motorhome or whatever I'm driving, that you would know by the way I drive that I'm a Christian. You were sitting behind me in the restaurant and you were eavesdropping on my conversation. I would want you to know that I was a Christian by my conversation. Now, you don't set out to say, okay, one of the church folks might be behind me, so I'm going to talk like a Christian right now. No, it's just your very nature. It's a new nature. And with a new nature, it's harder to do wrong than it is to stay doing right. Did you find that? You understand what I'm saying? With your new nature. You know, remember a little cartoon where they had Holy Spirit sitting on this shoulder and the devil on this one? And the devil's over there whispering in the ear, do wrong, do wrong. This one's over here whispering, do right. Well, you probably mute this one and amplify this one. You're not going to accidentally, inadvertently find an echo about doing right in the culture. But you have a conscience to say, I'm going to do right. I'm going to start out doing right. Anybody write down number one? Help me out. Saving faith. Good, good. Shed blood. We can't do without the shedding of the blood. Number three was we can't do without chastisement. We can't do without holiness. We can't do without works. Oh my, here goes one. You cannot do without. There are some things you can't, you know, can't do without. You can't do with that cup of tea or the cup of coffee, whatever it is. But you cannot do without a preacher. You cannot do without a preacher. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Excuse me? Where is it?
Romans chapter 10.
That's Romans chapter 10, verse 14. I had the advantage of I'm going to get you a wire, Ma. You can sit back there and wait. You get back on the point. Get back on the subject. Amen. All right. It's fun. You can't do without a preacher. And I thank God for preachers. Thank God for the preacher who stood here. And the, what do we call it, the residue? The afterglow of all that he has done for God. And your mere presence, and it's not a mere presence, but your mere presence is a testimony to him. Somewhere along, somebody motivates you to say, we got church, we're having church. Yeah, your nose may be running, your handkerchief may be wringing it out and so forth and so on. But thank God, we need a preacher. I may have told you this before, but I was saved in my junior year at Newark College of Engineering. And I, don't ask me why, but they gave us a vocational test, vocational interest test. And at that time, I was thinking about being a preacher. So I put, it was one of those things where you take a straight pin, and you put down what you're interested in. Anybody remember that? Taking it type thing. Okay. So I thought I wanted to be a preacher. So I poached what I thought would be all the ones that would the counselor would look at and say, okay, young man, you ought to be a preacher. And I think it came back with something. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't preacher. All right. I was probably one of the least candidates to be a preacher. And you can understand why. You've listened to me enough. Okay. But, you know, you want, when you want and God wants you to do something, nothing's going to stop you. Nothing's going to stop you. We need some more preachers today. We've been in Christian education for a long time, my wife and I. And we see some, but not enough, who want to be a preacher. Go in all the world and preach the gospel. The Presbyterians turned down Sheffy when he wanted to be a preacher. And the turn down and turn away didn't stop him from being a preacher. And so when God calls you, okay, God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher, whatever it is, hey, go for it. That clock says 20 after 10. Am I in ballpark time?
Got a little bit of time, yeah.
Okay.
Give us another point.
Give me another point. Okay. Another point. I saw a sign. We'll go to another point. You can do without a preacher. You can do without a preacher? No, you cannot do. You can survive. Are we looking for a preacher?
We are.
We are. We're looking for a preacher, right?
Yes.
Okay. We need to make... What do you call an individual who tames a horse? A horse trainer? You don't want a horse trainer. You want a preacher.
Right.
That means that this herd right here... Okay. You're not wanting a preacher to break you. You're wanting a preacher to make you. Okay. So a preacher comes, you know, you all good and you all got the right idea, I hope. So the preacher says, wow, look at that. Look at that corral. Whew, look at there. Man, I sure would like to pastor that church. I sure would like to be in God's place and God's servant in that place. All right. One more. You cannot do without counsel. Now, I wouldn't consider that little comment I just gave you counsel, but you might want to consider it some counsel. You cannot do without counsel. Without counsel, purpose. Proverbs 15:22. Okay, Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. One person might make a mistake in a body of believers. But the vast majority, okay, said, hey, we're sticking this out. We're going to have service. We can't do without heat. There's a group of people, Lord, down here that says we're going to do without heat what we want to do and what we came to do. You cannot do without counsel. There are some things in your life that you can do without, but this was seven that you need to have the counsel. You need to have it. I do have more. Hang in there. I'll just read them. You cannot do without praying. You cannot do without praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I don't know your praying habits, and you don't know mine. But on numerous occasions, I've been frustrated. She just said to me, you might want to pray about that. I was frustrated because... I don't know. Couldn't make my two fingers come together. You ought to pray. You ought to pray. When you got a frustration, you ought to pray. You ought to pray. You ought to pray. It ought to be a matter of life. A matter of life. You got a problem you can't solve. I tried it. I tried that. And I tried that. But why don't you pray? Why don't you pray? I think my brain is frozen, but yesterday I was thinking about what I might be saying today. And I'm in the middle of a frustrating situation. And so I wanted an illustration for this morning. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray. That way, when I talk about prayer tomorrow morning, I can say, see that, it worked. See that, it worked. I was in a predicament, and I couldn't get out of it. And I wanted an illustration for Sunday school, so I'll pray. Now, I'm opening up, okay, so don't get mad at me or anything else like that. I know you never would do anything like that. You wouldn't even think about anything like that. But there's nothing wrong with praying, amen? And you ought to be a little bit more about it. I tried that, tried this. Mom says, well, why don't you try praying? Why don't you go back in the closet? Why don't you be quiet? I didn't say that. But, you know, you all know what I'm talking about? When your wife comes along with an idea, why don't you try this? Well, my wife said, why don't you try praying? And we ought to do a whole lot more praying. You guys are going through some troubled waters. When aren't we going through troubled waters? If I never had a problem, how would I know Jesus could solve them? Exactly. Heavenly Father, bless these dear folks. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the place that you have provided. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us warm, keep us safe. I pray that you'd have the heat fixed and your timing and just bless that way. Help us to know what we can do with and what we can do without. May we be found faithful with those things that you have for us that we ought to be doing, that they might be carried out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's Rambling with Rev. Who?